What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the countdown. I'm Cam, this is Hunter, and today we're going to be covering a whole variety of different sports. Hunter?
Okay, so WrestleMania 41 is finally passed, thank God, I think. I was not happy with the card. I thought the card was mid at best. Night one, the only three matches worth watching were the main event, the U.S. title match, and the opening match, which was Jay and Gunther for the world title. Other than that, night one was trash. A lot of clutter, I thought. Like, a lot of clutter matches, like a lot of filler matches, you know what I mean?
I would agree. I think Jey Uso versus Gunther was a good match. I like that one. The New Day and War Raiders was horrible. I didn't like that at all. That was an awful match.
The ending was terrible.
I did like Jade Cargill and Naomi. I think that it helps accelerate Jade Cargill a little bit to try to push her to more of a main event type purpose. So I think there's a lot to benefit off that match. Even though it wasn't for a championship, there's a lot to benefit for Jade Cargill and throughout the future. Jacob Fatu and LA Knight.
It was okay. I would rate that the same as Jade and Naomi, really. I liked his blood trauma move in midair. That was pretty sweet.
The match was okay and decent, but it shoved Jacob Fatu into this new storyline of, you know, he's an incredible athlete who he does this very well. And everybody loves to see him out there. And he threw LA Knight off, and now it throws him into the storyline of what happens with him and Solo, what happens with him and now, you know, Drew McIntyre is going to want to be a part of this, and LA Knight's wanting his title back, so we could have a possible triple threat match soon enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Between a Drew McIntyre, LA Knight, and Jacob Fatu. And then we're eventually, I think, going to build up to a betrayal by Jacob Fatu against Solo at some point. Because you can see it. You could see, I think that's like a SummerSlam type deal.
Yeah.
Because you could see the, right after Raw at WrestleMania, Solo's like, I built this. And like Jacob Fatu's like, no, you didn't. I did this. You know what I mean? And so they're going to have a feud at some point. Rey Mysterio getting hurt really killed that match. And Chad Gable, I'm not even going to talk about it. I don't want to. That's the worst match of the entire card, I would say.
Well, I didn't even understand why they put Rey with Chad to begin with. I thought that was pointless. I'm like, dude, we all know it's Gable. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Get rid of this. Move on from this. The fact that Chad Gable was Rey's WrestleMania opponent was trash. To begin, I didn't like the storyline for this. I was not entertained by this at all. I think I told you, I'm like, this is a match that I'd rather not watch, and I didn't care about it. And then when Rey got hurt, I'm like, now the match really sucks.
Yeah, it wasn't that interesting. Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair.
It was another good match, I thought.
A solid match, and we needed more time with Tiffany Stratton. We need more time with the Rey. We don't need any more time with Charlotte. We don't need any time with Charlotte. We already know. But we need a developed Tiffany Stratton for that title. And so to have her develop down the road and, you know, compete in more events is going to be a lot more interesting. And then the overall night one main event,
which was awesome.
I think everybody knew or had an idea when Seth Rollins at the last SmackDown, you know, told Paul Heyman, you owe me a favor. It was either Raw or SmackDown. Told him that you owe me a favor. And I think everybody kind of knew a lot of people knew what was going to happen. And then the match goes on, and these guys all have a hatred for one another, which is fun to watch. And then Paul Heyman tosses CM Punk the chair, and then betrays him for Roman. And it looks so, like, compelling, like he's going to be with Roman, you know what I mean? And the revenge of the Shield once again, after, like, it's so reoccurring, you know what I mean? Like last year, WrestleMania 40, the main event. Roman decides to hit Seth Rollins with a chair instead of Cody Rhodes, costing the title. If, you know, and then you see Paul Heyman betray Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins put out his hand. And the build-up and the story. And then I know we have to talk about night two, but the Raw after WrestleMania, I think, was better than WrestleMania. Really?
That's a very popular opinion among most wrestling fans. And I believe I called Seth Rollins and Heyman getting together before, like, 2 weeks before Mania. I'm telling you, he's going to backstab both of them. And now I think the story is going to be Punk and Reigns uniting, teaming up to take down Seth and Paul and now Braun Breaker, since he's a part of this new task or this new group of people, faction. And I'm curious to see who else they add to this. It's my thing. Like, I want to know how far this is going to go. Because eventually, Seth's going to rejoin the world title.
Well, I think you have to have Seth eventually rejoin the title. I mean, you have to have him in that conversation. Seth Rollins is he doesn't have much longer. I mean, if you really look, if you look between the three of them, they don't have that much longer.
Yeah. Punk, Reigns, Rollins. I think me and you talked about this too. Jay. There's a lot of top guys.
Cody.
Cody don't have much more time. Cena's on his way out. This is Cena's last to Raw.
Randy Orton's coming down.
Yeah, Randy Orton's only got 3 to 5. I think Randy's going to end soon, too. There's a lot of guys on the way to retirement, and this is where this is going to happen. I think you need to start pushing Finn Balor now. I think you need to let Finn do Finn things. I think they've mistreated Balor. It's kind of like how they used Dolph Ziggler. You got to build these guys up now. You got to start pushing them. You at least got to start.
I think, you have to. Jacob Fatu, you got to push him. You're going to have Solo. You're going to have to boost Solo up. And I think this is a perfect opportunity for Braun Breaker to be pushed now in this storyline. I think this is perfect for Braun Breaker to get really start pushing, to becoming, start taking the places of others. And this is going to be an awesome build-up. A Backlash is going to be insane coming up here.
I don't think Backlash is going to – I think Backlash has potential to be better than Mania, but only by slightly. I don't think it's going to be like great, great yet. I think once you get towards – I think SummerSlam is going to be the great one. I think SummerSlam is going to make up for WrestleMania. I think SummerSlam is going to be the pay-per-view to make up for WrestleMania. And they already said they're going back to Vegas again in 3 to 5 years. They're going to get – Vegas wants to redo with that Mania because Vegas was not happy with it. But, I mean, Mania is still going to sell out. It's Mania.
So, I'll explain that. I'll explain my thoughts here when we get into Night 2 and, get over with Night 2.
It was a great card. The only thing that killed Night 2 was the main event, in my opinion. I thought Night 2 was a solid night.
I will also agree. And we'll start with the worst match, I guess, of Night 2. And I think that's AJ Styles and Logan Paul.
You think that was the worst match?
Here's what I do, personally. I do.
Okay, you go and explain, then I'm going to tell you my worst match.
Here's why. Because AJ Styles is on his way out. He really is. And this was a desperation throw-in to get Logan Paul to end WrestleMania. That's really what it was. It was never about, giving AJ Styles a run at a possible last WrestleMania. It was more, who do we throw Logan Paul with? Logan Paul has no storyline. How do we throw Logan Paul? Because he's a big part of WWE now. And he's one of the funnest people to watch at the biggest events. So who are you going to throw him in with? I think it's primarily, to me, you're going to have to eventually make a long-term storyline for Logan Paul. They're going to have to do something with him here eventually. But here's the thing. AJ Styles, it wasn't even remarkably close. Logan Paul dominated the entire match. He dominated the entire match head to toe. AJ Styles had some moments, but I think everybody knew that Logan was going to win that. It looked almost evident that Logan was going to win it. And I don't think there was no purpose to it either.
Okay, I do agree a little bit with what you're saying. But when you went back to like what you said, there was like a whole other storyline. I thought that way about a lot of matches in Mania. They were just thrown together at the last minute. Like, I felt like the storylines for this Mania, the build-up just wasn't there.
I agree.
My worst match on Night 2 had to be Randy Orton, just because Kevin Owens wasn't there. If KO was on the show, Randy Orton and Kevin Owens would have completely burned down the house. That would have been a great match. But the open challenge thing is why I'm going to give it last. If I was going to give a grade for AJ versus Paul, I would have gave a CC+. Now, here's what I would have done if I was the head storyline guy. I would have put Logan Paul in the Intercontinental title match and made Logan Paul the winner in the Intercontinental Championship match. Yeah. I would have took Finn Balor out. I would have put Paul in, and then I would have made a storyline for Balor versus Styles, because they have a lot of history together, right? Being part of the Bullet Club. New Japan, they were in there together. Well, that's a lot of history right there. So I would have done a feud with those two, and then I would have took Balor out of the Fatal 4-Way, and I would have put Logan Paul in, instead of Dirty Dom winning, I would have made Logan Paul the winner.
Like I said, yeah, there has to be eventually some type of storyline for Logan Paul. I just felt like that was just a toss-in match to me.
It was definitely underdone. The storyline could have been a lot more better. Like, I was shocked that during their storyline there was no, like, Logan Paul, like, you know, sneak attacks, like, no dirty tricks. I was very disappointed with that. But the match, I would give a C+. I felt it was an average match, a little bit above average.
The only thing that benefited Logan Paul throughout this match with feud with AJ Styles was the pulverizer. With Pat McAfee calling it the pulverizer. That was cool. When he first did the pulverizer, like, that was cool. You know what I mean? That was cool. So I had to say, I love that move. And Logan does a lot of things that a lot of people don't do. So it's fun to watch him go.
Oh, he's definitely a future's top guy in this business. I used to think that he was a average boxer. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he's bad. But he's definitely a better, 100% a better wrestler than he is a boxer. He is definitely a guy.
This kind of business. This guy could be a champ. He could be a champ. Yeah. He could be the main champ at some point in his career.
I think he or LA Knight's going to be the next Money in the Bank winner. Those are my two choices to pick. I think it's either going to be him or LA Knight.
I'd love to see it. I really would.
I'd love to see LA Knight win the Royal Rumble, dude. That'd be great.
That'd be interesting. So you comment, you said Randy Orton's match was the worst, is what you thought.
Knight, I mean, that's the thing, though. When you have an open challenge at Mania,
it's always going to be.
It's either going to be really good because they're going to bring back a veteran, or they're going to bring in. I'm not mad that they went the TNA route. And I like Joe Hendry. I think he's awesome. I mean, he's very popular. Nothing away from him. But you had a chance to get Sheamus. You had a chance to get Jeff Hardy. You could have brought in The Miz. You could have brought in a guy Orton had history with. But I understand you want Joe Hendry, whatever. But, like, it just didn't pop. And it wasn't even a long match. Like, it was, like, what, 5 to 10 minutes?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, Joe Hendry's sitting there flexing on him. Then all of a sudden Orton gets up and RKO's him and it's over. And I'm like, well, all right.
I like to call that kind of like the fun match, in my opinion. I think it was just a fun little creative thing they did. Because here's the problem. I think Triple H got thrown on this in the last minute because of KO getting hurt. And I think it was just kind of like a desperation move, almost, you know. And why not throw in a guy who, you know, TNA guy? It just, you know, it's just throwing to have a little bit of fun. And Randy Orton could do a couple RKOs to Joe Hendry. And it could be like a little laugh and smile match between intermissions between the bigger matches. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, you know, you
it's
got this.
It's kind of like a halftime, is what you're saying.
Right. It's like a little entertainment. Like, you got this killer, the Randy Orton, the legend, the Viper, everything, versus, like, Joe Hendry's got, like, turned around, got, like, a big smile on his face. You know what I mean? It's like some, like, a funny dude versus a killer and a legend. Like,
right.
So I get the comedy and the humor out of it. I think that's really what it was meant to be. It wasn't meant to be a competitive match of any sorts. It was supposed to be a fun comedy humor between, you know, between the other matches of what was happening, right?
I will say Joe Hendry got a hell of a pop. Mm-hmm. He's very popular. I also wish they would have brought out Nick Namath, which is also Dolph Ziggler. If they would have brought Ziggler in against Randy, I think that would have been a good match to have too. Like, there's four or five guys I would have picked, but like you said, it was more of a comedy segment. Yeah, like a half-time segment. My only thing is I wish it would have lasted a little bit longer, is what I wanted to see. I wanted to go a little bit longer.
A little bit longer would have been funner, but
like the fact that it was kind of like a filler. I'm like, make it an actual like match. Like, make it meaningful is what I wanted to see a little bit more of.
Well, this KO thing's not over with. You know what I mean? That's what.
Oh no, man! KO is gonna be out, Matt, 2 to 5 years. I mean, with necks are hard, man.
But
that's like the worst injury in wrestling.
I think I wasn't completely, because I didn't see it as a competitive thing. I just saw it as a comedy skit. That's really what I saw it as. That's how I looked at it. And I think if you look at it from a basis of a comedy, like a little comedy thing, WWE, I think it makes it a little bit fun. But regardless, it doesn't matter. There could have been competitive ways they went with it with you, how you thought about it.
Yeah.
Or just make something stupid and that's fun. What
they did. They just got Joe Hendry's name out, and I think they're actually going to sign him, too. I think WWE is looking to sign him.
Which and it's a good benefit for Joe. It helps Joe. Yeah. It helps Joe. It really does. You know, he might have got his ass kicked, but it's fun. But he gets – it elevates him for more people to know about him.
The crowd loved it. The reaction he got was just insanity to me.
Right, so it benefited him. At the long day, at least it benefited somebody at the end of the day.
At least something good came out of it.
Like the reason why I think the reason why I thought Logan and AJ Styles was worse than that, because that at least had some type of benefit. AJ had no benefit. There was no benefit for AJ. He was
AJ's gonna join with Karrion Kross is what's going on with that.
Really?
Yeah, that's why Kross, he's either gonna feud with him or join him. And by the way, WWE's been going, they're probably gonna join. He's probably gonna join because, you know, if you can't beat him, join him.
So that's the mentality. Now we have the Intercontinental Championship. Braun Breaker, Mysterio, Penta, and Finn Balor. I'm 100%. I thought Finn Balor should have won this thing. That was me. I wanted Finn Balor to win it. I knew Braun eventually had to lose it, and I was okay with that. And here's what I will say. Dominic winning it, I think it's great for him. It's great for him to have a push. It really is. But then at the same time, I think the Balor story could be a lot more interesting.
All right, here's where I'm at with it. I will always say this, and I know it's an unpopular opinion, but I will always say this. Finn Balor needs to leave WWE. They are burying him. They are misusing him. They do not appreciate him. He got one push as Universal Champion. He got hurt. They never gave him another shot, nothing. And Finn's there day in, day out, busts his ass, and he doesn't get rewarded. So I knew that they are not going to push Finn Balor. Fans have been raging forever to push this man. To give him a legitimate title reign. And they never did it. So I am not mad that Finn lost, because I expect Finn not to lose, because I know Finn ain't getting the love he deserves. So just give up on the Finn thing for now. I will say Dom turning face and his face push is going to be amazing. Him being
in face,
it's going to be the complete 360 of his heel. Everyone's going to cheer him. Everyone's going to love Dirty Dom as a face. This makes Finn Balor a big heel right now. This is going to make Balor a big heel. And this is going to turn Judgment Day upside down. And now I'm curious to see, but here's where I'm curious of. So this is where we get to this question. Is Liv Morgan going to stay with Dirty Dom? Or is she going to join with Finn Balor? I think she's going to go with Finn Balor.
I do too.
I think Liv Morgan and Raquel and Carlito will join Finn Balor, and Fal and Ben's going to bring in
Penta. I think Penta joins Dom. I think Penta would join Dom, for sure.
They're going to bring in an NXT guy or like someone like that to be the muscle of the new Judgment Day.
Let me ask you a story. Let me ask you, because you know this storyline a lot longer than I do. Could this be a potential for Rey to join Dominic back?
I wouldn't be surprised if they added a way in there for that. I would not be surprised if Rey Fenix,
that's what I'm saying, Penta, like a reconnect.
Join the LWO. I will not be surprised if they join the LWO.
Yeah, they have a little bit of reconnect.
I will not be shocked if Dominic Mysterio calls out his dad, says, "Dad, I want to talk to you." They make up whatever, and Rey gives him an LWO shirt. I won't be shocked. And then you could probably see like this LWO versus the New Judgment Day,
right?
War Games.
It's like a storyline build there, between two feuds.
You could probably drag this out to War Games,
yeah,
and then have LWO versus the New Judgment Day at LWO and War Games. I would like to see that. I think that would be great.
Yeah. So I mean, there's different ways you can go with it. There really is.
Dude, I should be a strip driver. I think people would like my stories a lot better.
But we both agree. It was time for Braun Breaker to drop that title and move on. Braun's got other things to do.
Braun's going to be the next Brock Lesnar. That's what's happening. This is, I'm telling you, they've been prepping this since day one. He's going to be the next Brock Lesnar. Because guess what?
I'm excited for it.
He's already in a trio with Paul Heyman and Seth Rollins. There's a reason. So guess what Paul Heyman's going to do down the road?
Join Braun Breaker.
And just join Braun Breaker, unless Rollins backstabs him first, because they're both backstabbers now.
The Women's Tag Team Championship, which I'm gonna admit, I liked it. I did. Becky Lynch coming back, joining Valkyria.
I'm gonna explain why I like it, and now I'm explaining why I don't like it.
because they turned her heel.
The night after.
I know.
It made no sense. It makes no sense, Cam. None. You made them drop it last night, and then just them to get it back Monday. Like, stop doing this. Stop doing it.
Yeah, that part. So the match at WrestleMania
41
was awesome.
That was a great match. That
was thrilling. At WrestleMania was stupid.
It ruined the whole point. It ruined everything about it. I'm like, dude, these four girls just went out there and put on a better tag match than and again, this is my opinion. They put on a better tag match than the men.
Easily. It was easily better than
them. And I'm not talking just by a little bit. They beat the men by a landslide. It wasn't even close on my scale.
And it was
what
good.
Do you do? They had a great pop. They had a great ovation. They sold out the crowd. They loved it. And you ruin it the next night. You ruin everything. Pointless.
Yeah. The match at WrestleMania was great. The Raw after just ruined it. So that's how I see it.
So you understand why I said I liked it and then I don't like it.
Yeah. I agree. The Women's World Championship Triple Threat. I got my own comments about this. I love the Io Sky one. Love it. I thought Io Sky, it was incredible. I think the match at WrestleMania was awesome. I really do. I love that match.
The Triple Threat match between the women, I think, is very up there close to being with the main event of night one.
It was great. That one was a good match.
I felt both Triple Threat matches were. I mean, I'll give Reigns, Rollins, and Punk the edge by a little. But this World Championship for the women's was pretty damn good, in my opinion. I love the ending, too.
EO off the ropes. Off the ropes.
Because, it went perfectly with the storyline. Like, you know, the two big bad women are here. Little EO doesn't mean anything. And then EO comes in at the last minute and reclaims her title. Like, EO felt disrespected the whole time that she wasn't a part of it. So I loved the ending. I loved the match. It was mostly Belair and Ripley and then EO getting her time in there, taking shots. But I liked the ending, and I'm glad for EO. EO deserved a Mania win. They're not doing what they learned from what they did with Asuka. They buried Asuka at WrestleMania. Never going to win. I think if she did, it was one. But it was embarrassing what they did to Asuka. Now they're learning, and they got EO. So I'm happy for EO.
Glad EO won it, but the match was great in itself. But afterward, this thing, the Backlash, it's going to be Rhea Ripley versus Io Sky. That's the Backlash prediction match for the championship belt. And I'm not being mean when I say it. And I'm not being I think I love Rhea Ripley as a kid. You know, I love what she's done in the WWE. But I think her push is way too much, almost. It's every championship event that you could possibly think of on every week she's getting a push. I'd rather have Io versus somebody else. That's just my opinion.
Right. You need to get more people in there now.
They've got to add more than what they have. And I don't even care if it's I'll go as far to say, because the men have a more, I would say, more people and a more different outliner aspect. I take into consideration, and I know they added a SmackDown championship, a United States championship, Intercontinental championship for the women. But to let the women on SmackDown and Raw, you know, co-fight for like,
example. They need to quit doing that.
Because
they need to quit doing that.
There's not enough women on each side.
Right.
To create more storylines. If you did it where the men stayed the same, because there's enough, you know what I mean? There's enough for Raw and enough for SmackDown. But for women, you could do Raw and SmackDown, put it together. So think about it. We could have an Io Sky versus a Jade Cargill at Backlash. Because you see how interesting that would be? Because Jade just won her match. She won her match. And now Jade is looking for a title fight. But not wanting to face Tiffany Stratton, would rather face Io Sky. So there's so much you could do for that.
Here's the thing that always baffled me. You let Rhea get it back from Liv, then you let Rhea drop it from EO, and now you're still got Rhea in the situation with EO. Like, I just don't get that. Like, why did
you... It's repetitive. It's too repetitive.
Yeah, exactly. And it's getting stale. It's getting very stale, very dry, very boring. Like, dude, we saw this, like, once. We saw this at Mania. Why are we doing this again? Just one-on-one again. Like, I don't get it. And if they make EO drop it to Rhea again, then I'm like, all right, stop. Stop with Rhea and EO. Like, I'm done. I'm over it. I'm done. No.
I think what made it special last year is because Io and Bayley had a history. That's what made it fun last year. Bayley winning it against Io, that was a huge storyline, huge feud with, you know, the two of them. And I think that's what benefited it, right?
No, I agree.
All right, the main event, Rhodes and Cena.
I'm going to let you go first. You're not going to take as much time on this as me.
When I first watched it, I hated it. After thinking about it, I love it. I love what they did with this match.
Did you buy it? Love, it was supposed to be boring, and it was John Cena trying to ruin
When you watch it in real time, you think that, you know, the biggest main event is supposed to be, you know, awesome, electric. There's supposed to be all these crazy things happening. But in reality of what John Cena said to the build-up, I only have really one major complaint about this.
I have three.
For me, John said, I'm here to ruin WWE. I'm here to ruin WrestleMania. I'm here to ruin wrestling. That's what I'm here to do. I'm here to take home the Undisputed Championship and never bring it back. You know what I mean? I'm going to be the last world champion. And so he made his point. The main event was not supposed to be great. It was not supposed to be electric. It was not supposed to be this, obviously, and regardless if it was supposed to be, John Cena's way out of his prime. So it would never have looked that way, I think, in my own opinion. Which is why I don't think Randy Orton and John Cena Backlash is going to be... Randy Orton's going to look great, but John Cena's not. John Cena's supposed to make it look boring. He's supposed to make it, you know, everybody hates how it ends. Everybody hates how it looks. You know what I mean? And I think the build-up to WrestleMania was all Cody Rhodes. It was all Cody Rhodes. It was all Cody Rhodes doing that. The performance was perfect by Cena. And here's my feud. Here's my biggest problem. Okay. The day after WrestleMania, The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, joins Pat McAfee's show. And the final boss at Elimination Chamber, him and Cena connect, right? And The Rock says it was because he came up with the whole idea because they were losing ticket sales. It all had to do with ticket sales. So he creates this feud, and then after Elimination Chamber, gets on the phone with everybody at WWE and says, I'm done. I'm not doing anything at WrestleMania. Not happening. Not happening. This is all going to be John after this. And so here's the problem. Nobody asked The Rock. Nobody asked him to wrestle. Nobody's asking him to do anything. The only thing that would complete this storyline, all he had, listen, here's my personal opinion.
Just show up.
He didn't even have to join in like Travis Scott did. He didn't have to do anything. John Cena could have won the damn thing, and The Rock could have just walked out onto the stage put his hand up to him and signaled to him. Or, here was my other way. Go into the arena with him. You know what I mean? Walk down the thing, go into the arena and say, The Rock has to go away for a while. You know what I mean? You know the plan. Do what you gotta do. That's all he had, and then walk away. And if he'd have done that, make the appearance to complete what you did in the Elimination Chamber, all you had to say is, you know what to do from here. You know what to do. And then if he'd have done that, everybody had been happy. Everybody had been happy. Nobody had cared.
That's all that happened. That's all that needed to happen.
All he had to do was just make an appearance, say a couple words, it's over. The thing is, adding Travis Scott, which didn't bother me because
that made me so angry. He had no business being out there. No, don't even start.
The only reason he was a part of it is according to The Rock, apparently he is training to become a wrestler, is what I heard. According to what Dwayne Johnson was saying.
Trash, stick to rapping, son.
But the three of them being together, and then Cody, you know, getting that black eye after Elimination Chamber or getting smacked real hard, you know what I mean, by Travis Scott. So I get that, but I mean, The Rock was the purpose. Him and Cena together, that was the starting build to the feud. And to not even, I didn't expect him to wrestle at all. I didn't expect any of that, but to not even join in is like, what's the point? What's the point of you ever, you know, what's the point of you two teaming up? It's stupid. It's just stupid.
So now you're where I'm at. Why did the main event at WrestleMania suck? Because the storyline is now pointless and useless. That's why I didn't like it. This is basically John Cena's farewell tour, right? He has barely been on there. He's barely been around. That pisses me off. Not just for me, but for all wrestling fans. It pisses me off. It's a joke. It's your farewell tour. This is supposed to be your last, your last run. You're barely here. So screw you for that, John Cena. Two, you're right. He teamed up with The Rock. Rock's nowhere to be found. Useless. Pointless. What's the point? The main common factor about Mania 41 and why I hated it and why I think it underproduced was the common thing. Storylines. Storylines were bad. It was like a last-minute project you throw together to turn into your teacher just so you pass with a C. That's how I felt this whole WrestleMania 41 was. It was mid for a reason because it was thrown together at the last minute. And the storyline, I feel bad for you, Cody, because you carried the whole thing. It was on you. You showed up. You did your job. You showed up day in, day out. You busted your ass. You were the champion. You were the people's champion. They booed you. Screw them. When you turn on them, I'll ride with you because that's what they get. Cody Rhodes literally had to carry a whole storyline by himself. The Rock and Cena failed him. They made his title reign look like a joke. So then, instead of rewarding Cody by letting him win, what do? You give it to Cena. And then you bring in Travis Scott, wannabe wrestler, not even a good one. He's a wannabe. He slaps like a girl. And you made him win, and you cost Cody. That's fine. I'm okay with him costing Cody. I'm okay with that. But not getting in the ring and acting like you're a wrestler and doing all this other, just like nut him or something and get him out. Like, that's just, the storyline's crap. The Rock is a waste and useless. And Cena turning heel has bombed. Cena's not a heel. He can't do it. It's just all bombed. The whole thing of Mania 41, you need good storylines or decent ones, and they didn't deliver. The storylines were terrible. That was the common thing about every match. The storylines were... The wrestling was good, and the sport was good, but the storylines were mid. And that's why WrestleMania 41 to me was mid. You had good matches. You had good bangers. The street fight was good. But still, the storylines were mid. And that's why Mania 41 to me was a C+, because your storylines failed you. And the main event of Night 2 was one of the worst main events I ever freaking seen in my life, and I wish I could not watch it. I wish I could get back in time to stop myself
from watching it. But I get the purpose of it.
I understand the purpose of it, but delivery is key, right? Like, you got to have the delivery. I don't care if it's supposed to be bad. The delivery was awful. You screwed up giving a bad product is what you did. I don't know how you did it, but you did it. You can't screw up delivery in this business, and that's exactly what happened. Like, this is all pointless. Like I understand it's supposed to be bad. I get that. Like, no, I'm with you. But here's what I don't get. The whole premise is a complete waste and wash. That's what I am trying to explain to why this is bad. Because the whole point of it is just a waste of time. Like you said, all The Rock had to do was appear, man. And say something. And he couldn't even do that. Cena's heel turn is one of the worst heel turns I've ever seen in my life.
Here's what I think should happen for Cena's heel turn if they wanted to do this. I think that, this is my personal opinion, John should have never announced a farewell tour. I think...
There you go.
I think if he'd have never said that he was doing a farewell tour, or never said he was... Here's what he should have said. Here's how he should have delivered it. I'm going to retire in the next 2 to 3 years, so to speak. And I don't know when. It's going to be between this time period, right? Don't know when. And whenever I feel like hanging up, I'll hang it up. Which I can get behind. And then turn heel. You know what I mean? He could turn heel. And then you have this long, drawn-out story to where you don't know when it's going to end. Because here's the deal. This shit's ending in December. He's done in December. In which everybody knows where the story's going. Everybody knows that he's going to, after some time between SummerSlam and October, he's going back to the hustle, loyalty, respect. That's where he's turning back to that, and he's going to be the hero. Well, listen, what's the whole point of him turning heel if he's just going to be the hero? If you'd have never told anybody when you were retiring, this thing knocks it out of the park.
But like you said, now you're crunched for time, right? Now you're trying to cram everything in, and now you don't have time to actually do anything good with it. So that I agree with that too, Cam. That's a very good point. Now you're scrapped for time, and you're just crunching, right? Like you're cramming everything in. This is why it's bad. This was never a good idea to turn him heel. This was never a good idea. There's two things he should do before he goes. And if he does both, I'm cool with it. He needs to win the IC title towards the end of this farewell tour. But I agree. He should not have announced this as a farewell tour for a year. His storyline is going to be, like, I just don't understand it. I don't get it. It's bad. It's been bad. It feels rushed and crammed, just like you said. He should have gave himself 2 to 3 years, not just one. You can't do a heel Cena in 3 to 4 months. It's not good.
No. You've got to develop a longer story. I think, and here's my personal opinion, he didn't have enough time to turn heel. So right. here's my point. I think that Cena should have been back at least a couple months prior. You know, I'm not talking like starting in January. I'm talking about this dude should have been like here in August. Like it should have been here in August of last year. He should have been just coming back, you know, and I'm not saying he needs to be a full-timer, even for this role. I'm thinking that he could have started in August and been part-timing, you know. Hey, I'm, you know, and I just joining in a match at, you know, Survivor Series or being a part of something, you know what I mean? Start, you know, we got hustle, loyalty, respect, you know what I mean? Over, and then you could have automatically at Elimination Chamber flipped and hit heel like that. And I'm telling you, the whole WWE world would have blown up even more. This would have skyrocketed even farther because nobody would have known how long this would have lasted. Nobody would have known how long this heel would have lasted. And honestly, you could say that, and even when his heel run ended, right, at some point, you could have been like, okay, John Cena said he's going to retire, okay, say prior, there's probably a year and a half now, right? Okay, he could show up, he could personally, he don't even have to be there anymore. He really could, you know, come in every couple months, you know what I mean? And just out of his way. He didn't have to do a farewell tour. He could have just, you know, still been the guy to join in on matches or whatever. You know what I mean? And then say, hey, guys, my time has come. It's over for me. Right. You know what I mean? I'm done. And then, so we would have had a buildup of John Cena still continuing his story with him being the hero to this heel, which would have been phenomenal if it was put out right. In my opinion, with had long duration, could have been phenomenal. And then John Cena joining in every now and then, right, for a little fun thing, and then it's over. And everybody's happy with how that ends. Everybody's happy with this awesome story.
I'm happy with the heel turn. I'm really not. I think this is just a waste of time for everybody. I don't think he should.
This is all his fault.
I know. It's all him. And The Rock. This is him and The Rock.
This is him pressuring Triple H to produce something within a short matter of time, and Triple H knows it's bad. And it's so bad to the point that The Rock does whatever the hell he wants to do.
Yeah.
Screws things up. Now he's going to have Cena. Now he has to. He's got no choice but to put Paul Heyman and Seth Rollins in this thing. Because Braun Breaker, because you have no choice. You have to have something else. You're going to have to build this feud to like a little group they're going to have. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
It's going to be a nightmare. It's going to be a nightmare. What an incredible heel run could have been.
The Rock just needs to mind his business.
They should have never asked him. They should have never asked him.
No, they need to quit going to him. Like, stop. Like, quit. Let The Rock do stuff to TKO, like, board, whatever. Don't put him back in here in this shit. Just keep him out.
So we got to get on to different things, but we've been on.
Talk about that. Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. We've really dived deep. I mean, honestly, we'd have to probably, really, I mean, I don't know. We might.